This is a replay of the Wednesday, August 7th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James with 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it's on mine, whatever that might be, as long as it has no import or great significance anyway. I guess you live in this particular HOA, you'd find it some import, but here's one. Kids 1, HOA 0. Homeowner associations, which, as you know, want to rule your life in every way, shape, and form in Colorado, called the sheriff's office last month to tattle on a kid's lemonade stand. They claimed it was blocking the road. The sheriff's deputies got there, and they determined that it was not blocking the road, but they suggested the kids move a few feet for their safety, which they did. Then out come the homeowners associations, a group of Karens, no doubt, yelling that you are on private property. Well, the only problem is the kids' parents were in the HOA, too. It was shared property, and so technically the kids own the property. And so I say, kids 1, HOA 0. But I'm very jealous of anyone who has that kind of time on their hands to care about that. Yeah, I guess when electing your homeowner officials, make sure that under occupation it does not say retired. Yeah. Oh, man. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Marianne in Chicago has been waiting since before the show. So, Marianne, what's on your mind?
Hey, Raleigh. I'm back.
Yes, you are.
After I hung up yesterday, I remembered one of the reasons I called you other than Johnny D.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't want to call back because I figured I'd get talk to you tonight.
Yeah.
Do you know a woman by the name of Ellie Jenkins?
The first lady of children's music, I think.
Yeah, she turned 100 yesterday.
Good for her. Good
yeah,
for her. So,
still
God,
around, but she's not, you know, performing anywhere.
Well, right. Well, you know, it's interesting because if she has been the first lady of children's music for most of her life, I'm sure she's seen a change.
Yes, she probably has.
I remember back in the early days when it was still all 78s and shellac because there were no 45s or 33s or anything like that, there used to be people who would make children's records specifically for the child. And
oh, nice.
Well, yes, except if they couldn't pronounce the child's name. So I might still have one of them somewhere. Hello, Roly. This is your Aunt Jessie. Yep. I know.
Oh.
You're right. I know I'm not your real Aunt Jessie, Roly, but I've told so many stories and sung so many songs to so many boys and girls just like you, Roly.
Oh, that's too funny.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah, had my address and everything, you know. Absolutely. So I'll bet you Ella in the early days probably made these records.
Maybe.
I would think, because it must have been quite the industry. And obviously they didn't do any checking and on what the kid might actually be named. But other than that, good for her.
And yeah. That might have been the prelude to now. Parents can order this thing where Santa Claus calls their kids.
Oh, well, there are things where anybody can, you know, there are down on their luck stars who are actually taking money for making videos for people's birthdays and things like that.
Well, nice.
Wow. I think I could be wrong, but I think one of the guys who does it is Rod Blagojevich.
Don't they call those cameos?
I have no idea what they call them.
I believe they do. I believe they call them cameos.
Okay.
And people order these cameos from these people, and they're like sometimes $50 a shot.
Well, right, and as well it should be when you're paying for somebody who's got a name. $50 isn't really a lot. But what's interesting is the reviews, because the only reason I knew about this is I don't remember why I looked up Rod Blagojevich. God only knows. But I, you know, so middle of the night, you know, 4 a.m, things come to my mind. So I looked him up, and sure, he got great reviews. Because apparently his DVDs or whatever they are, files, I don't know how they deliver them, were believable and personal. So, but I guess they had a bunch of others. I mean, all sorts of people who once upon a time had a quote-unquote big name that are now reduced to wishing others happy birthday.
Like Marilyn Monroe and John Kennedy?
Yeah, well, let's see. Since you mentioned Cameo, I'm looking up Cameo. Yeah, Cameo is Cameo, and it is the service now. For Rod, I can have him say happy birthday or do a pep talk. Or who else can I get? Let's see here. Actors? Let's see what actors we can get.
There's a bunch of people from, like, reality shows that are doing that now.
Well, that I understand, but, I always worry when it's names that you normally see that were pretty big names once upon a time. Like, what went wrong? Oh, Tommy Chong. Why is that not surprising somehow? All right, Tommy. And he's appropriately smoking a bong in his picture, exactly what you'd expect. But yeah.
Have you ever seen his wife?
No, I've never seen him. Other, you know, obviously have all the records.
She is a knockout, and she's no young chicken.
Oh, Jamie Farr. You can get Jamie Farr, by the way. Okay, so now we have to look for Tommy Chong's wife. Okay.
I mean, if she's had things done to her, it's very natural.
Well, good for her. Shelby Chong or Maxine Sneed? I guess Maxine was the first wife. They were married till 1970, and then Shelby, he married in 75. All right, here she is, just lovely. Very, very good, and she was apparently executive producer of some stuff. And, of course, producer of the Cheech and Chong films. But, of course, Tommy Chong has a soft place in my heart because he was in Vancouver when he was in Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Does your mama know about me? Does she know just who I am? Well,
yeah. Oh, I didn't know that he had something to do with that.
Yeah, Bobby Taylor and Tommy Chong, they had a nightclub. For a while. It used to be a movie theater, and I forget what it was, but they brought in, this is like the early 60s, they brought in, like, and remember, this is Vancouver, a little different than it was today. They brought in Ike and Tina Turner, and I guarantee you Vancouver had never seen anything quite like it, and it went sour when it became, I couldn't even tell you what Tommy suggested they call the group. And, oh, man. So Bobby Taylor and the Vancouver sounded a lot better than what he had suggested. So they you can read it somewhere. I can't possibly say it. But in any event, that's who he is. So, all right. Well, you can apparently get
him. Well, I
had
one more thing that I wanted to talk to you about.
What is that?
I hear Leah say last night she was going to get a Costco membership so she could get her prescriptions from their pharmacy?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know about where she's from, but here in Illinois, you don't need a membership to use the pharmacy.
But do you need a membership for the deep discounts?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's
about
why
that.
That's why she wanted to do it. She had heard that she could get Ozempic at a ridiculously cheap price if she were a member of Costco and used their pharmacy. So I don't know.
Then she has to have somebody figure out if the discount she's going to get is worth the membership.
Well, it probably is, because that drug can be very pricey. But according to Leah, and of course, I don't know, I've never been in a Costco, but according to Leo, they have doctors on the spot who will write the prescription. That sounded very, very dire to me, but okay.
I don't know about that. And I have a friend who worked there 22 years.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. But I'm sure Leah will have a full report for us, and I love them when she does.
Yeah, so. And her doctors can forward the prescriptions.
Well, that's having the doctor, of course. So, well, we'll see how it goes.
Yes, I wish her luck.
Me too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Now, before we get to Brian and Joliet, and we got James on the south side, I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company, because Bob Crane really should be knighted. If you're a radio fan, you know about Bob Crane, and you know about the Sea Crane Company, because now it's decades ago, he was as disgusted as many of us were with the state of radio reception. Yeah, they'd sell these radios, and you couldn't pick anything up worth a darn, particularly on AM. And he said, I can do better. And boy, did he. So now there's a full line of radios, but the commonality to all of them is just terrific reception, AM and FM. In fact, you put these radios next to the standard radio that's on the market, and it'll just blow it away. Well, the CC Radio 3 is the almost everything radio, and it's by John's bedside. He likes it. It's got the addition of a Bluetooth speaker, so he can take things from a smartphone and put them on that speaker, and it'll sound really good, because if you're listening primarily for voice content, the speaker in the CC Radio 3 is arguably worth the price alone. Audio quality is just terrific. Sounds like the host is next to you. Now, you also have separate bass and treble controls, so when it comes to music, you can adjust it to your perfect pitch to immerse yourself into audio clarity. But for me, that's all nice. But the real lure is the reception for AM and FM. These radios just pick up more. It's got the emergency radio capabilities, too, like NOAA weather and the 2-meter ham band, which is a lot of fun. It is digital, but you can fine-tune in 1 kilohertz increments if you want. You've got presets if you want. You got a clock and a timer and alarm if you want. Dialight, too, while we're at it. And all runs on the included power cord. But if you want to shove a set of batteries into it, you'll get over 170 hours off those batteries. So that makes it a perfect emergency radio that way. It'll work. Now, you can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Read all about it. Not only great products like the CC Radio 3, but great information, too. So I suggest you go to the website. But if you can't go online, don't want to go online, would rather talk to a real person, call them, because they've got real customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll send you out a hard copy of the catalog if you want one. You can order on the phone, and they will answer all your questions. But if you can go online, the world is your oyster. Now, yes, quicker shipping at things like Amazon or Bi-Mart or REI. But before you do that, check it out on the Sea Crane website. You'll get a lot of information as well as just great radios. CCRadio.com for the CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Holly James. That's a very young Maurice Williams. He wrote it. He was in high school. He traveled with his little band from South Carolina to Nashville, where Ernie Young, who owned Excello, recorded them. Now, they had been the Royal Charms, and Ernie said, no, that doesn't sound right. Be the Gladiolas. Now, to this day, I don't know why Ernie Young decided they would be the Gladiolas, considering there were other groups with the same name, but they were. And Little Darlin', which Maurice Williams wrote, went to number 11 on the R&B charts while he was still in high school. And got to about 41 on the Hot 100. But since Maurice wrote it, and since Ernie Young was an honest guy, when it was covered by the Diamonds and got to number two nationally, yeah, Maurice Williams made a lot of money. And that was nice. And then, of course, later went on and formed the Zodiacs while he was hanging around University of South Carolina. And into beach music, too, by the way. But the South Carolina connection was Phil Gernhardt. Phil was an absolute crazy man, all right? Yeah, and you might remember him from Snoopy versus the Red Baron. But in any event, Phil back then got a hold of Maurice and produced him. And it was Phil who produced Stay, which, of course, was just terrific. By the way, the demo was produced at WCOS in Columbia. Everybody rejected it except for Al Silver, you know, at Herald. And he said, if you re-record it, WCOS did not have fine production studios, I'll release it. So finally in 1960, they did. And of course, it was just the ultimate for Maurice Williams. And interestingly enough, he had a number of records after that, and some of them were moderate hits, and some of them were just beach music and stuff like that. And he, over the years, always wanted Gernhardt to produce him again, and Gernhardt was having none of it. But like I say, he was an absolute crazy man. Gernhardt got involved with Dick Holler, who was a really good writer, and together they produced a lot of beach music like Double Shot and My Baby's Love for the Swing of Medallions and all that, or if you're in Florida, the Chaotics. And but around then, around the time of the Chaotics, Gernhardt decided he'd go to law school at the University of Tampa. That was fine until he got waylaid. A couple things. He met the Sugar Beats, a local Sarasota group there, had a guitarist, Kent Lavoie. You might know him better as Lobo. But with the Snoopy and the Red Baron thing, oh, man, lawsuits and everything, but that was on Laurie and really made a lot of money for Gernhardt. But meanwhile, poor, who's no longer with us either, been gone many years now, but poor Maurice was trying and trying. He later, without Phil, did some interesting things with Alan Toussaint and Marshall Seahorn at Sea Saint and on Disu. And so we'll play one of those coming up. But I'm playing that, if you didn't realize, because, sadly, Maurice Williams died. Yeah, Monday, 86 years old. And I'll tell you, he might not have had other hits, but he was one of the hardest working guys in show business, because he continued to perform really just until about the end of it. So rest in peace, Maurice Williams. And we will get to Being Without You, which he did in 1966 with Alan Toussaint and Marshall Seahorn. All right, so 888-876-5593 is the number. We'll get back to Brian in Joliet. We'll get back to James on the South Side, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, yes, rest in peace. Maurice Williams, who recorded that in 1966 at Marshall Seahorn Studio in New Orleans with Alan Toussaint producing Being Without You. And that was right after May I, which actually originally came out on VJ and then quickly came out on Disu, Seahorn and Sea Saints label. And that was, I read somewhere that that was a million seller. Now, I don't know how, but May I certainly was a big beach record and then later redone by Bill Deal and the Rondells. But Being With You didn't get its just due, but that was one of the last for Maurice, who, like I say, continued to tour virtually till his final days. 86 years old, rest in peace, Maurice Williams. We will remember you with the Gladiolas, the Zodiacs, and all your solos as well. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Linda is in Richland Park. Hello, Linda.
Hello, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing fine. I got in early on you tonight. Good. I was just listening to you play the song. You played the song. It's called Little Darling.
Oh, Count
Basie.
I
thought about Count Basie, Little Darling. But that's a jazz tune, and I don't know if you want to play it because it's kind of slow.
I played Little Darling on the air in the last week or so. And I will play it again because it is one of my favorite records. You know, Neil Hefti wrote it, and I just think it's terrific.
Oh.
And there's a...
Okay, you...
Yeah, so yeah,
you
I actually...
You played the one by Count Basie?
Yes, I did.
And, I must have been asleep on that.
I'm going to go back to my own website and see when I played it. But yeah, I did, and I just love that song. It was from the Atomic Basie album on Roulette in 1957. Just wonderful.
You don't have to play it. You don't have to play it since you already played it.
Let me find
another jazz tune I like. Maybe you want to play that. It's Sidewinder by.
I love Sidewinder. By the way, I played Count Basie. I played this for Monday Night Trivia on Monday, July 29th.
Oh, okay.
But Sidewinder
was free.
Well, Sidewinder is it was the last bumper I played that night, so you might have been asleep for sure. But Sidewinder is a great song. And
yeah, it is.
Yeah, the Sidewinder Part One, and that's from '65. And for people who don't remember it, that's Lee Morgan. Yeah.
Right, Lee Morgan. Okay, well, if you already played them, no need for you replaying them over again. I'll give you another song.
I'll play the Sidewinder again because it's been months.
Oh, okay, yeah, play the Sidewinder. Yeah. Then I also like, there's a song that's out, it's by the Drifters. I think it's by the Drifters. I cried all the way home. That's the Dramatics. Yeah, the Dramatics.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute, that's not the Drifters. All right, all right.
It's a Dramatics. It's called I Cried All the Way Home.
Yep.
They have such good harmony in that, you know, ooh, it's the harmony, ooh.
Yeah. Well, if I don't get it tonight, really, I will try to get that tomorrow night.
All right, fine. I was just thinking about the man that had the test on his eyes and it didn't come out that great.
Oh,
he was kind of crying.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
So, but I thought he had mentioned the same doctor I see, Dr. Nick. I said, did he say Dr. Nick?
I don't
you
know.
So I don't.
I think it's somebody.
Yeah,
I think
Nick.
It's somebody in Wisconsin.
Oh no, it wouldn't be Dr. Nick.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping he'll turn out well. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he'll turn out well.
Me too. Sometimes it takes patience. You know, some people they get relief immediately, but other people it takes a lot of months. But you know, the jury's still out, and I want him to keep the faith.
Right, good, because you know my eyes is clearing up. I'm beginning
Yay.
To see a little something.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I was. Yeah, I can see myself in the mirror some morning. So
that's great.
You know, so I can see a little something, so I feel good. But it is a lonely thing when you can't see anything and you by yourself. I was listening to another man say he got chains all around his apartment. Mm-hmm. That's how he get around, you know. So, you know, you have to, it's all kind of stuff you have to do, you know. They got all kind of stuff for blind people. But when you think about it, there's someone else worse than me.
Oh, that's always the truth.
Me up.
But you know, I've had a lot of blind friends, and the one thing I can tell you is the friends I've had who were blind from birth were much better at adapting to it than people who became blind later in life. You know, it's a whole different world. If you've gone through life as a sighted person and now you're a senior citizen and you lose your sight, it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, incredibly difficult.
My sight just totally left me about 6 months ago. All prior to that, I could see a little something.
Right.
And one day I got up and I couldn't see nothing. I was so devastated. I can't explain it to you. So what I did, I started doing other things, you know, listening to a lot of radio, all the assistance stuff that I can afford.
Right.
For blind.
Right.
I was getting it because you'd be surprised at the price of the stuff they sell to the blind.
Oh, I know. I know. But there are also, if you really look hard, there are very often programs that can get you things at either deep discounts or free. You just have to find them.
Right. I've been trying to do every little thing I can, but it's rough, especially when you live by yourself and my kids come over and they read stuff off to me. But it's just irritating when you can't read your mail.
Of course
you don't know what
of course
color your clothes is you're wearing, you know, you don't know what your hair look like. So after a while you're saying, I don't even care, you know.
Right. No, absolutely.
I just stay here.
But it's a terrible thing to lose independence, and that's really what you're talking about. When you lose the independence, it's just horrifying. And so I will never minimize what you're going through because it is tough. But you've got a good attitude about it, and I'm delighted that you're actually seeing something. Hope there will be more of this.
I'm hoping so, too, because I have another classmate. She's just not starting to go through what I'm going through, but I do notice that I don't get a lot of invites anymore.
Oh,
like I used to, my classmates and stuff, things, functions going on, they don't call me and let me know. I just hear about it. Oh, so-and-so, you know, they went here, they went there, because my sister's 2 years older than me, and we would always be invited, my sister and I. So my sister, she go, well, I'm going here. You know, the group is going there. It's our classmate. I said, well, that's okay. I said, it's all right, guys. Don't invite me. That's what I tell them. Don't invite me. I don't care.
Yeah, you know, that's so wrong. It's just like I've had friends who have who have lost a spouse, and suddenly all the things that they used to do together with their spouse socially, they're no longer invited. It's almost like they don't want an odd man out, and that's really unfortunate.
Right. Right. That happened to me, too. Been there, done that. I lost my husband in 2018.
Then you know.
And it looked like the whole world changed at that time, because I never had to pay a bill. I never had to do anything, just be the wife, stay home and cook. If I wanted to go work a while, I'd work a while, and then I would quit. But I wound up working 15 years for the county. Because I enjoyed it. It was doing hardly not anything. It's what I had majored in, interviewing, counseling, and doing stuff like that. So I kind of hate I worked there because I told you once before, I can never, ever, ever, when I go to sleep and I have those dreams, I'm always on the job, leaving the job, or we're either in a meeting. I don't know what is the purpose of that. And when I come out, when everybody cleaned the desk out, we moved out the file cases, it's put away and everything, and when I get ready to go out the building, I look out, I can't find my car. I'm looking all around the building, and everybody left. That's my nightmare. And I'm in the dark, scared by myself, can't find my car, you know, so.
Yeah,
that's the kind of dreams I have about the job. I don't know why I dreamed about it, because I didn't love that job. I did not.
Well, it's the it's the frustration of it. There, you know, I think we all go through that. You know, I've been stuck in so many dark hallways on so many elevators that went in every direction, including sideways, and so many dark staircases. And I have I have actual towns that are in my dreams. I can tell you where the high rises are. I can tell you where the intersections are, and they come up for like the last 30 years. So I understand. It's just the dream of frustration.
Oh, that's what it is.
I think so.
Oh, my God, what is this?
Yeah,
it's horrible.
I think it's just frustration. And, John has frustrating dreams, too, and we've talked about it. I long for waking up and saying, oh, what a pleasant dream, but I don't remember that ever happening.
Me either. They're just seldom. You know, I started to go, take a lot of supplements now. And they help. Very good supplements. So
good.
I have some getting for my eyes and different things. A lot of people don't believe in it, but you know.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Nothing, because
it's working for you.
Right.
You're seeing more than you did before, so I'm not knocking it.
Right.
All right.
So I get a lot of my lot of stuff from Dr. Dixon.
Okay.
And Dr. Dixon, she has several degrees and things. She sells a lot of her products and from China and Switzerland and a lot of different places.
Uh-huh.
And she have all kind of stuff that she has for people. Dr. Dixon.
Okay.
And she's in Atlanta, Georgia. And people be ordering from all over the world. So she got to be pretty good. So, you know.
Well, it's working for you.
Yeah, she's been in business for over 40 years. So I said, I try that. So I feel a little good when I can see my hands sometimes.
Yeah.
I tell you, I enjoy your show. I haven't found another program on the radio as good as yours.
Well, certainly not like it. I will say that.
I mean, it is good as yours because you are so compassionate to people and you know the history of a lot of the singers and things. And I like listening to different things that you say about the different singers and things. So.
Well, it's great to have you. And I want you to call me soon and I promise you will get Sidewinder.
All right, great.
Thanks.
All right,
appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, it's Linda and I have similar tastes, that's for sure. We'll get to Brian. We'll get to James. We'll get to you if you call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. As I'm sitting here listening to it, I'm thinking that probably what Linda wanted is the other side. Yeah, Sidewinder part two. I'm just thinking. Yeah, we'll see. It was always my favorite side. In fact, on the first version, which came out on Blue Note, I think, in Blue Note Records in 19... Probably came out in 64, because it was recorded in December, right around Christmas time of 63 at Van Gelder, which is a great little studio in Englewood Cliffs. And, they put out an album, The Sidewinder. In fact, Leonard Feather did the liner notes on that, too. Yeah, so a fine song. I'm sure that's what Linda had in mind. But we could play the other side, too. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And let us see what Brian and Joliet has to say for his bad self. What's up, Brian? Are you with us, Brian? Have we lost Brian? Is that it for Brian tonight? All right, well, he waited, and he had, I don't know if he had requests or what, but sorry we didn't get to you, Brian. Hope you're sleeping soundly. Well, it is almost 11 o'clock. All right, we'll start with James on the south side, but we'll finish after the news. So James, my man, last night we were going to discuss one of these stories, and I've already forgotten what it was.
Okay, we were going to discuss about the person who had supposedly been, had left their job and then went straight, and then when you read it through, because I was having trouble bringing it up on my, okay, you said, oh, no, let's not go to that. I have found a better one that was from earlier that we never got to.
And that
it was?
It
was about a man who decided that he was going to retire, and his retirement place was going to be a Holiday Inn.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a worthy choice. Was that I think that was Terry Robinson, and not the same one who started TransStar. But hang on a minute, don't go away. Definitely not the same one who started TransStar. This was a guy from Spring, Texas, and you know, as you get older, you kind of worry what's going to happen. And this guy decided that no matter what, he was not going to be in a nursing home. And so he got out his calculator and double-checked the math and discovered it was cheaper to retire at the Holiday Inn. And I think that that post went somewhat viral. So the first time it ran was in 2019. And so we'll try to find out what happened to Terry and hopefully what happened to you, if you'll call next hour on WGN Radio. Dum, doobie, dum, whoa. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that is the Tokens. Tonight I Fell in Love. Andy from Norridge wanted to hear that. Tokens had been around quite a while. Hank Medress formed them in the mid-50s, and originally Neil Sedaka was in the group, but he was long gone by the time Medress came around with the group that would do The Lion Sleeps Tonight and everything else, and it was Phil and Mitch Margo, and Jay Siegel actually did the lead. But within about 6 years, they charted like with 9 hits, and of course... The Lion Sleeps Tonight, of course. But Tonight I Fell in Love was on Warwick, and that was Morty Craft's little label in 1961. All right, so we're back to James on the South Side. Now, I've been doing some math. I'm glad you brought this up. Firstly, I cannot figure out whether Terry is still with us or not. But the first time Terry Robinson of Spring, Texas, decided that it was cheaper to retire at the Holiday Inn than a nursing home was actually 2004. And then he was contacted again around 2016 and then at 2019. And that's been the last time. 5 years later, I can't find him. But he said he had no intention. He'd rather be in the hotel. Now, the way he figured it was that it was less than half the cost of the nursing home. So, of course, as you can imagine, the senior living professionals went crazy. All right. And
yeah.
Oh, this is so good because one of them, Amy, we won't give Amy's last name, but Amy said your math doesn't factor a whole lot of things. Yeah. And then she brings about what kind of food will you be eating? Well, it'll be a lot better than whatever he'd be eating in the nursing home. I mean, do you?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Do you know there's a...
Oh.
Right. And Amy goes on to say, do you know there's a direct correlation between getting good nutrition and hydration and longevity? Yes, you'll be much better off in the Holiday Inn getting an Uber to deliver. You got to be kidding me. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some senior and some nursing homes that aren't top-notch, but those are the places that most of us mortals could never possibly afford. We're talking about the average places that still will set you back, like a lot of money in some case, in some states, $400 a night. Now, I admit that Terry's idea that it's going to be $59 a night has gone up since then, but it still is a heck of a lot cheaper than $400 a month at any Holiday Inn of your choice anywhere in America. By the way, the average cost of a nursing home in Alaska is over $1,000 a night. So then she goes on to say, who's going to check to make sure you take your medicine only as prescribed by your care provider? And I laugh because how many people who have had senior relatives who are in nursing homes and you see the nighttime crew? You know, oh man, you got to count out those drugs yourself or God knows what's going to happen. We could go on and on with that. But anyway, what I decided to do, there's something better than the Holiday Inn if you've decided nursing homes are not for you. And again, for people who truly need this, I'm not saying it's a bad service. My God, it is absolutely a godsend. But to make an article saying, how about the food? No, don't mention the food. Please don't mention the food. But cruise ships. Now, and you get good food on the cruise ships. Cruise ships are a lot cheaper than nursing facilities. So you could get on and never leave. So,
I remember a story I sent you.
And some people do it. Now, it depends what you're cruising. It can be anywhere from like $1,500 a month to double that easily. But even double that, it's less than nursing care.
Oh, yeah. You've got the doctors there in case you even need a little something.
So, yeah. So I think Terry's on to something here, but the problem is I can't find him anymore, so I don't know if he's with us.
Yeah, that would definitely be worth because when I think about some of the stories I've read over the years about this and some of the stuff that I've actually seen or heard of. I mean, like there was one place where basically where they stole the dentures. I'm like thinking,
that's minor.
What are you going to do with them?
No, we could tell stories that are just absolutely horrible. Near us, there was a nursing home that took care of fully disabled people. One of them was actually a Native American who was of childbearing age. We know this because she was in a coma. And she had a child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And so we hope that that's not the norm. And I'm not even intimating it is the norm. But what I am saying is for people who are just absolutely opposed to nursing care, you know, in your older years, you may have options. So anyway.
Yeah, I took care of my parents.
Right.
No, they didn't have to.
Right, right. Well, and God love you for that, because there's a certain hell for people who park their parents in nursing homes. Now, again, there are times when there is no choice. If your loved one is absolutely in a coma, for instance, if you're in a situation where they are absolutely a danger to themselves and to you, but many of these cases, that's not the case. They're just warehousing people.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I recall one place I went to where I can still recall some of the, and it looked like the loneliest, saddest people I've ever seen.
Oh, I know. And at night when they're screaming out, no. Well, this is too serious a topic, so we're gonna stop right now.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to something else about the cat that they thought had Down syndrome.
You know, I missed that. I was concentrating on the dog that set the house on fire because they were chewing on the cell phone battery.
Oh, yeah.
Dogs, two dogs, by the way, they escaped because there was a doggy door. The house didn't make it. So, and that's something to remember, by the way, that these batteries are not necessarily inert. Now, hopefully you're not chewing on one, but you might have a pet that is. And yeah, the fire department actually released the video so you could see the whole living room go up.
Yeah. Oh, and in the case of the reverse of it, there was somebody who was chewing on dog treats.
Yeah. Well, I can't laugh about that because I remember when we were raising Bernie's Mountain Dogs, one day I grabbed it not knowing what I was doing and had it part of a dog treat. I can tell you it was one of the worst experiences of my life. So, yes.
Okay. We won't go there, Peter.
Oh, God.
We won't go there to that one. Okay. You know, I took your advice on that one thing to install.
Yeah.
The problem is my phone keeps installed probably, and then it kept on going like in circles on me, like,
oh, man.
Like thinking, please don't do this to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Tell me about the cat. I assume this is a cat scan story. Cat with Alzheimer's.
Supposedly with Down syndrome, and they show supposedly show him he has slanted eyes. I'm like,
well, they're cats. They all have slanted eyes. All right, now.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, and I thought, yeah, this is. I guess this was meant to make us smile.
Yes, maybe. They say senior cats develop CDS, cognitive dysfunction syndrome, feline dementia. Yes, and the first thing they say, is your cat no longer responding to your commands? And I'm thinking, that's not dementia, that's a cat. You know, it's not that hard. So,
a cat is a cat. Okay, even the best of them will basically, there'll be times where, and they'll just simply you'll have to go looking for them.
And then they say one of the signs is going to the bathroom outside of the litter box. No, I say that's your cat sending you a message, particularly if it's in the middle of your blankets.
Yeah, he's saying, hey, I'm not doing this. You're doing too good either.
Yeah, I'm not
so I'm
feeling
just
it.
Delivering yeah. you the news.
Yes, yes, exactly. So, yeah. All right, now what was the other one? You had one more?
Okay, it was about the lawyer who was trying to prove the unbreakability of the glass window. And unfortunately, he probably should have just simply taken the first floor and done it that way, or ground floor.
Now, isn't this a story? Isn't this a 30-year-old story?
I suspect it is because I couldn't get it to come up.
Okay,
and I'm like thinking,
okay. I remember this because this is a story out of Toronto. And this was like 30 years ago when a lawyer was demonstrating the strength of his office's unbreakable glass, throwing himself against the window, and he was on the 24th floor. And what happened was the glass did not break. The frame gave way. That was the story. Oh, yeah, this was, this rocket scientist depopulated the zip code, to say the least. But I'm pretty sure that this was the early 90s. And, pretty sure. But, yes, it's not to be forgotten, I guess. Hopefully nobody else has done it since.
Yeah, I hope not, especially under, like, the Sears Tower where they got the... I should call it the Willis Tower.
Right,
that's what it's
right.
called.
Yeah, but let's face us, it will always be the Sears Tower.
Yeah.
I don't care if they change
the name. Yeah. Also, I wanted to say about the eye thing, I do hope that as somebody who has too much familiarity with eye surgeries, I wish them well.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, always wonderful to hear from you, James. Thank you.
Okay. You take care.
All right. Great crop of stories.
And John, too.
Okay. Good deal. Okay. Yeah. So that was a fine group, but I tell you. But yeah, I'll have to see if we can find Terry Robinson if he's still with us. We'll get to Jim in Richmond. We got Johnny D in Ohio. All right. Ooh, paper money. I've been listening to some of the nuts on YouTube, of course, who are making the predictions, don't you know? It's going away before the end of the year, of course. But yeah. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Remember this, and remember that.
That night we fell in love beneath the stars above. That was a lovely summer night. Remember then. That's was a classic. Remember then,
remember, remember.
Our love is in the past.
Oh,
has it gone so fast? Why couldn't our love last? I'm broken hearted now, since we have parted now. My mind wanders now and then. Remember then.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and Andy from Norwich wanted to hear that too. A fine song by the Earls. And I don't know if he knew, a little bit before Larry Chance died, they put together a new album, and they brought out a new version of Never, which was, of course, one of the follow-ups to Remember Then. And I thought it was just a great-sounding song. On Larry Chance and the Earls, Back on the Streets of the Bronx. Yeah, a CD that came out in 2001 on Laser Records of Ferndale, New York. I guess they did it themselves, but nonetheless, there were a few good things on it, but I thought the version of Never was just terrific. So, and we've got the other two Andy requests that I shorted him before. Sweet Little 16, that was Jerry Lee Lewis on Sun in 1962, and Down the Line, Jerry Lewis on Sun in 1958. So Andy's going to hear all of them. And we're going to talk to Johnny D. We're going to talk to Jim in Richmond. And I hope we're going to talk to you two coming up right here on WGN Radio.
Well, they're really rocking in Boston, Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, shaking around a Frisco Bay, all over St. Louis, way down in New Orleans. All the cats gonna dance Sweet Little 16, my Sweet Little 16. Yeah, she just got a half, about a half a million, a famed autograph. Oh, the wallet filled with pictures. Yeah, she got them one by one. Becoming so excited. Me, won't you look at her run? Sight to see somebody steal the show. Whoa, daddy, 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 I'm in bed of you. It's all right with mom. Well, I guess it's okay with you. Whoa, cause they'll be rocking on bandstand, Philadelphia, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, strutting down a Frisco Bay. Yes, all over.
WGN Radio. Yeah. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Jerry Lee Lewis. And now I know Andy from Norwich was complaining I didn't play the original version. I believe that is the original version. I couldn't find it because I thought that was somewhere in the 50s, but it wasn't. It was Sun 379, which came out in 62. So there you have it. And he had another Jerry Lee Lewis request, which was from the 50s, 58. So maybe we'll play that next. All right, so 888-876-5593. Johnny D. is in Ohio. What's up tonight, Johnny D.?
Yeah, I had to take the cough drop out.
Hey, hi, Raleigh.
Yes.
The killer. Killer.
Yes.
Jerry Lee Lewis, the
yes.
killer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they called him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, let's see here. Wait a minute. First, I got a song request, right?
All righty.
And what it is, I'm going to sing a little bit of it and see if you know what I want, okay?
Uh-oh. I'll try.
And it is, okay. All right, you see, I think you should know it. It's right around in your wheelhouse there. Well, not a blues song, but you'll know it. Wait a minute, here it goes. Darn. I'm going back to Houston.
You like those Dean Martin Houston. Records. Yeah, you like those Dean Martin
yeah.
records.
Yeah, I heard it the other day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I like that. I haven't heard that in a long time.
All right.
So could you play that?
Yes, I could. It'll be tomorrow night.
Okay.
You will
going
hear
it. Back to Houston. Is yes. that what it's called?
It's called Houston. Lee Hazlewood wrote it.
Okay.
And actually, it's a cover. The original version was Sanford Clark, the guy who did The Fool. And then...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Is it better than Dean Martin's version?
You won't like it better because, of course, you like Dean Martin doing Mambo Italiano better than Rosie Clooney, so I can't speak to it. You know?
So, well, I'm not as proficient as you at all these things.
Uh-huh. But we'll play the Dean Martin Houston. I mean, it came off an album.
Well,
and
that's
then they
the one
spun
I like.
It.
I like the way that guy sings, all
right? Right, and they spun it off an album.
Back, huh?
They spun it off an album. It was originally an album cut, and then they brought it as a single. And I'm happy to do that.
I'm going back to Houston.
Yes, 1965.
I can't do Dean Martin, but,
yeah, 1965.
Huh? Well, I wasn't listening to it then. I listened to it later on.
Oh, okay. Well, it got. I'll tell you what. It got a lot of top 40 airplay. It was a single on Reprise, and
because it was Dean Martin. Come on.
Well, and Jimmy Bowen produced it. You know, Jimmy Bowen, of course, had a big hit in the '50s. I'm Sticking With You, when it was Jimmy Bowen and the Rhythm Orchids, but Jimmy Bowen produced it. So, and of course, Lee Hazlewood wrote it.
How about that?
So, and it was, and the conductor on it was Bill Justice. So there was
Pete Fontaine.
Bill Justice was the conductor and arranger on it.
Did you ever hear a guy called Pete Fontaine and it was a thing called the licorice stick?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, my dad used to have that album when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And
The album was called Licorice Stick. It was on Coral. And there was a picture of Pete blowing into his... whatever
yeah,
that is.
Clarinet.
Yeah, I think I still have that album somewhere. And he did all sorts of things on it, like Maria Elena and Hello Dolly and all that. But
well, could you play something by Pete Fontaine?
Oh God, help me. Let me see. I don't know what's on here, but if not, I'll take one of my 45s or something and put it on there for you. Okay.
I appreciate that very much, and thank you for that.
Sure.
You're so kind.
Yeah.
What are we going to say here? Wait a minute. I'm having trouble talking tonight. Anyhow, I wanted to thank you for correcting Marianne on what I call myself on your program.
Yes.
Johnny D.
That's right.
D as in delightful, delicious, or dynamic.
All right.
Okay?
Yes.
And I also want to thank you for making me aware of something that never occurred to me
what?
In my life.
What?
That dog, spelled backwards,
is God.
Is God.
Of course. You didn't know that?
I never thought of that.
Well, yes, dog.
And you know what? Let's do evil. What is that?
Well, let's live. Sure.
How about that?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
All right, now wait a minute. But you don't sound too enthused to be talking to me, Ron.
I am absolutely enthused. I'm absolutely enthused to be talking to you. I'm not enthused to be sitting up and doing anything, but I am absolutely enthused to be talking to you. Trust me. Now, tomorrow, I think for Pete Fountain, instead of Licorice Stick, I might play The Honey Wind Blows, because that's my favorite cut on that album.
Hey, play your favorite, Raleigh. That's what I want you to do.
All right. So The Honey Wind Blows,
that's
Pete
Fountain.
That's what
I want you to do. I don't remember. I just remember my dad going, "Hey, Pete Fontaine." What the heck?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I got my little AM radio station got a fan letter from somebody who listens to it while he's driving across the state. And this was so funny because he says, "I love listening to your station. You play all of my father's favorite records. I'm 70 now." And I thought, "Oh, shut up." You know? So, like, wait a minute. You should remember some of these. So, yeah, all of his father's favorite records. That's just great. But
yeah, how about that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you do play some of my father's
Yeah, it's lovely. All right.
But you never played no Sergio Funky or...
well, yeah, they're right. I don't. I got my limits.
Who's it? Or Mario Alonso. Yeah,
yeah.
Mario Alonso.
Yeah.
Anyhow, informed delivery, okay?
Yes.
Informed delivery?
Yes. Have you signed up?
You're talking about?
Yes, have you signed up?
Well, I signed up a long time ago at the residence that I lived in before I moved to where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So I get it from there, who's ever living there now.
Oh, okay? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So they're sending you pictures of someone else's mail.
Coming to me.
That's funny.
And you know what this place, you know what, I sold it to a guy that buys houses and then he rents them out,
uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
That's who I sold it to.
Uh-huh.
He owns half the block over there on the street I moved.
Uh-huh.
And since I've been down here and then I check my email, I get the, there must be about three different people that lived in that house since I moved, okay? And I've been looking at all their mail.
Well, that's interesting. Now we know that the post office service is not exactly secure. I guess you can write anybody's address down and see what their mail is. Oh, how joyful.
I don't get to look at the mail.
No, but you,
I get to see the envelope.
And you get to see who it's from.
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I feel,
could enlarge it. I enlarge the screen.
I feel better already.
Attorneys, and... And car companies, you know, bills and all that, you know.
Well,
I don't get to see the
with that trifecta of attorneys, car deals, and bills. He probably isn't paying some of those bills.
I know. I'm thinking, man, this guy here, he's involved with something.
Yeah.
But so anyhow, yeah. I told John I want to talk. What do they call paper money? What do they call it now? They got a name for it.
They got a name for it?
Yeah. And what do you mean they're going to do away with it? You mean I've been hoarding all this paper money in my mattress and it's still good?
Are you talking about banknotes? I'm trying to think of They are banknotes.
It's a myth. It's a myth.
What?
A myth.
It's not backed by anything other than the government's promise to pay, right?
It's a myth.
Right.
I was wondering how that myth started.
Oh, well, dollars used to be backed by gold and then by silver and then by nothing. You know, I could tell you all about it, but it's too serious a topic, so I'll recommend a book. It's called The Creature from Jekyll Island. Griffith wrote it, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It will tell you all about the formation of the Federal Reserve. It's all you need to know.
How's this stuff happen, you know?
If you read that, you'll see exactly how it happens.
Okay.
Yeah, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And
The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Yeah, G. Edward Griffin wrote it.
All right, I'll have to make sure that I'll listen to the replay if I forget. I should write it down.
And I mean, hopefully it's still cheap. You see, it's probably out of print, so it might have gotten expensive. But if you can find it cheap, it's worth reading, or probably at the library.
Creature from Jekyll Island.
Yeah.
What is the creature?
Well, you see, that's the Federal Reserve is the creature from Jekyll Island. The Federal Reserve was concocted on Jekyll Island in a meeting. That's where the title comes from.
Where the heck is Jekyll Island?
Off Georgia.
Really? Never heard of it.
What do you mean, really?
I heard of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and I heard of the strange island of Dr. Monroe or whatever.
Jekyll Island is off Georgia. It's actually very nice, you know, it's the only problem with it, it's near Brunswick, so you do have the lovely aroma of pulp mills, depending on how the wind is blowing. But other than the pulp mills, it's nice. So it's by St. Simon's Island. It's down there, like I say, off in 95. So it's north of, considerably north of Jacksonville, if you're looking for a city you've heard of.
Is there anywhere near where that fellow went to the Azores or something?
No. He's the only person I personally know who went to the Azores. Although, you know, these questions are odd. Last night, John looked at me and he said, "How far is it from Australia to New Zealand?" I said, "Nautical miles." And where are you going? Are you going from Melbourne? Are you going from Sydney? Are you going from Perth? Where are we going to? Wellington? Are we going to Auckland? And he looked, he said, "You know all this?" I said, "Yes, absolutely. What do you want to know?" And
I was looking at something about on YouTube about, what was the name of that island? There's some people living there that are like living in the Stone Age, still, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the heck the name of the island was. Anyhow, there's still some people living there. They were contacted in the last like 100 years, a few times. They killed a couple of people, you know, that went there. I mean, that tried to come, you know, go on their island. It's a small island.
Are you talking about like North Sentinel Island?
Sentinel Island. Yeah, that's it.
Well, that's nowhere near you. That's in the Bay
Sentinelese.
Yeah, right. But that is the Bay of Bengal. It's northeast of India, basically.
As a matter of fact, I think India owns it.
I don't know, you know, anymore. I have no idea who owns what, but...
they took it over.
Well, yeah.
And the Sentinelese, just still living in the Stone Age, you know. Of course, they went onto a ship that got stuck over there. What do they call it?
You're talking about the Primrose?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, 1981. That was the bulk cargo of chicken. It was going from Bangladesh to Australia. Yeah. And like...
Yeah, and then it got
50,
stuck on a...
Right, 50, 50 armed islanders wanted to board the ship, but the white waves were strong enough that it didn't work out. But yeah, they had arrows, and there was a deal there, and the crew got evacuated finally by helicopter. But yeah, that was 81. That was a while ago.
Yeah, and then some guy went there, this kid... I don't know if from the United States, he was like a Christian or something, and he wanted to convert them. And he said, it is the devil's last stronghold.
Right.
That was
2018. That was Chow. He was a 26-year-old American kid or guy, and he had paid local fishermen to get him to the island shore, and then he, you know, approached in a canoe and attempted to communicate and offer gifts. Well, needless to say, that's not what the islanders had in mind. At first, they were amused and then bewildered, but mostly they were hostile. And so he was trying to sing worship songs, and it was not good. And that was it. They arrested. They arrested the guys who assisted in getting this guy to the island.
They did.
Yeah, and then they opened it. He was murdered. They opened an investigation, but they never really could find which Sentinelese would be charged. So the United States did not ask the Indian government to press charges against the whole tribe. but they tried to recover his body. Yeah, so North Sentinel Island.
Yeah, this kid, I don't know.
Don't put it on your visitation list.
God's will, then he'll get killed.
Well, it was.
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
But no, these aren't the Nolese, Raleigh.
Well,
you know,
you're not going to run into them, and I would say leave them alone.
Well, yeah, that's what this video that I was watching. Yeah. This kid said, "Look, they was on this island for like, you know, thousands of years and living okay. You know, they used to you know get fish and hunt pigs or something. You know." Just like in the Stone Age, and you know, they were surviving, they were happy, you know. And so why should we go there and bother, you know, go there and bother?
Correct.
Them and give them these bees and everything, you know.
Well,
so that's what
you get what you're asking for when you do that.
I'd like to go visit and talk to them.
They don't want you. They don't want you to visit. You will not be able to book a cruise anytime soon. There are no scheduled flights.
They're little small people. They're small people.
What?
You know, they're only about 5 foot at the most.
The genus of it is, I think, the classification is Andamanese, if I remember. So it's a tribal group.
Andamanese. And they went to the other Andamanese and... Well, Everybody got sick, you know, just like with the Indians.
Well, the bottom line is don't visit. They tend to want to kill you if you do.
Yeah, right.
All right, good.
But they like the gifts, you know, they'll take the gifts. You know.
Sometimes.
But anyhow, listen.
That's it for us tonight. It's good to hear from you.
Okay, then.
All right. Thanks.
Talk
appreciate
to you later.
It.
Bye.
Okay, good. And yes, Jim will be next. And then we got Rita. We got Eduardo. All right. I hope he heard his song last night. And we got Don and Beloit. And there'll be room for you, too, because there's another hour coming up. But right now, I think we may already be in commercials. I'm pretty sure, because probably going to hit the top of the hour, which we cannot do. Yeah, so since we're going to hit the top of the hour, and this is Bob's mandate, you can't let the commercials go past midnight, because all manner of, it's kind of like going to the Sentinel Islands, really. And so with that in mind, we'll just pick it up right here after the news with Jim, and then Rita, Eduardo, and Don, coming up on WGN Radio.
And you came to me, my loving baby, you ain't got to stop. Some real gold love that'll drive a cool catwalk on a move on down the line. Gonna get me a gal, then I'll go out on the town. Well, move on down the line. I'm gonna get me a gal, make some time. You're gonna be deep sweat, you're getting me slow. But when you start to struggle, we gotta go. I'm on a move. So hot, I'm gonna get what you ain't got. She'll be clean, do me wrong. She'll be cool and twice as gone. They're gonna roll on, roll on down the line.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, that's the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis. And that was the final request from Andy in Norwich, 1958 on Sun Down the Line, Jerry Lee Lewis. All right. So Jim in Richmond's been waiting, and we appreciate that. So, Jim, how are you doing tonight?
Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I have a few things that I want to discuss with you tonight.
Yeah.
But number one is I wanted to say to Linda that... I heard what she said.
Yeah.
And she's got to understand that I've been diabetic for over for almost 50 years.
I think she has too. By the way, I think she has too.
Okay. And being diabetic when you're 21 is not the same when you're 71.
Well, it's also not the same person to person, how it affects the body, of course.
Right. And the shot that I got did help, but, you know, it's you know, I don't have the same metabolism that I had when I was younger.
Of course not. None of us do. Right.
Right. So I wanted to understand.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Is she diabetic?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. Tell her that the pain from the shot only lasts one day.
Right.
I've been getting them for over 2 years. And if they want to give her a shot, she should take it.
Oh, I think she has been.
Right. She was saying
that I think she
didn't
has
want
been.
Any more shots. That's what I heard
Oh, well, I have a feeling that she's still doing that. But good advice, and I'm sure she's listening.
Right. And then the second thing, and the funny thing I wanted to talk to you about, we talked about burgers a few months ago.
Yes.
And today, my friend, you know, Shar, took me out for dinner, and we went to Red Robin that I told you about before.
Oh, yeah, Red Robin's good.
Right. And she had the guacamole burger.
Uh-huh.
I had the tavern burger. And we both had a small Blue Moon because that's what we like to drink when we go there. Can you guess what the bill was?
Oh, it probably $60.
$46.
Oh, that's all?
I
I'm surprised.
I could not believe it.
I'm surprised it's that low.
When we first started to go there, when we used to go there on our weekly trip to Janesville, you know, the burgers were between $7.99 and $9.99. And now they were $46. I was freaked out.
Well, I think that I think that tavern burger you ate is like $11 or $12 right there.
Right. And so that was that.
But I know. It's terrible.
While we were talking, like I said, she's very spiritual. We talked about that in the past. She blocks out everything from the past.
Uh-huh.
I even remember my phone number from when we lived in Chicago,
sure.
You know, 50 years ago.
Of course.
You know? And she says, you got to get rid of the past. But we were sitting there talking, and she says to me, what would you rather have, your eyesight or your cognizance, you know, like, you know.
Ability to think, right.
Right. And I said, I would rather have the ability to think. And she says, you'd rather have Alzheimer's than your sight? And I go, yeah. She goes, I don't understand that because you're auditory, meaning everything I hear, I remember. You know, that's all the way how I got through high school.
Right.
Everything I heard, I remember. And she said, don't you think you can keep that if you lose your sight? And I said, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you can. It's just harder. It's just harder. But, you know, we never know what life is going to bring us. And the other thing is it's always the old line about there's always somebody in worse shape than us. That's true. But, you know, you kind of have to just go for the spiritual route and say that the Lord will not give you anything you can't handle. And, you know, and go from there. But I do my best not to think about things.
And I told her, well, you know, I can remember the phone number from 60 years ago.
Of course.
When we lived in Chicago. But I get up, I go in the kitchen, I can't remember where.
Yeah, why you've gone there. Absolutely. And you know, Jim, we all have that. That's the most common thing. The short-term memory goes. And like you, I can remember the words to every song from 1955, but you know, I can barely remember anything I'm supposed to remember to do today. If I don't write it down, if it's not on the list, it doesn't get done anymore.
Right. And
so lists are your friend. However you can do it, you know, because that's the only thing that keeps me straight. Otherwise, I'd just be, you know, walking into walls.
Right. And there was another thing I wanted to discuss with you tonight.
Yeah.
And I forgot it.
Oh, well, that's all right. Well, see, write it down and you can call tomorrow night.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I was going to say is, I know what it was. See, while we were it was my birthday dinner we were having.
Yes.
And she gave me this magnifying glass thing that you put your iPhone in, and then you you set it on there, and it's got a big screen, and you read your iPhone. And I looked at it, and I said, it doesn't change, but I don't have my reading glasses on. My reading glasses are 350 power, you know.
Right.
And she says, oh, it says it's 300 power. And I was wondering if you have any listeners that know I have an iPhone 15, and I put it on maximum magnification, and I can't get anyone to tell me what power that is that I try to read my mail with, you know. And I used this thing she bought me with my reading glasses on, and I still can't read the mail. So if any listener knows how strong the maximum magnification is on the iPhone, so that I would know.
Right, it's a zoom lens. The zoom lens is the 5X, and it equates to around 120 millimeter, but I don't know how that equates to power. They're doing it in terms of, like, pictures, so it's the equivalent of 120 millimeter focal length. But that's a good question. What would that relate to in power? I don't know. Maybe somebody does, and maybe they can call. That'd be great.
You know, my phone service is U.S. Cellular. And I've asked them, I don't know.
No, they, right. That's like talking to the wall. Don't even stress yourself with that.
And then we talked about... Siri reads everything for me, but she can't read. If you come up and say, "Can you read my email?" She reads the header,
right?
And it says. Then she goes, "Read," and I go, "Read," and I said, "Say, hey Siri, read." Oh, your page is not set up for that. And then I went to U.S. Cellular and I asked the girl that was there, "Can you set it up where it says you can read the page?" And after a half an hour, she goes, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Right. No, absolutely. There should be, you know, there should be some organization, you know, like we've talked about before, that are somewhat helpful that can help you. But I'm hoping all the lines are busy right now. So, you know, hopefully it'll be tomorrow night. We're on the air at 10. But I hope somebody will be paying attention and will be able to tell us, because I'm sure there is probably easy instructions. And unfortunately, the way everything is set up on this phone, it tells you as if you're taking pictures, not as if you're trying to read it. But there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way to take those specifications and turn them into things in terms of power for vision and all of that.
Right. So, and that's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
From your listeners.
I'm hoping too. Yeah, and I'm also going to, John's real good with cameras and stuff like that. I'm also going to ask him to take a look to see if he can figure out how to figure how that would relate to optics, because I don't know. We'll find out. One way or another, we will find out.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, of course.
You said John has to think about everything didn't Elon Musk come out with a chip to help people?
Yeah, it doesn't work for him. They're not going to put a chip in his brain for this. So it's a nice thought, but no. it's a nice thought though.
I've been told that I worry about more people than myself.
Well, when you do that, that keeps your mind off yourself, and so that's not entirely bad.
Right.
Well, it's going to be all right, and we're going to find out how to make this iPhone 15 Pro Max work.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks. And appreciate it.
Have a great evening.
You too. All right. So, yeah, that's very frustrating. And yeah, dealing with customer service very often is just an exercise in futility. And talk about a level of frustration, yeah, beyond anything reasonable, to say the least. All right, Rita in Harwood Heights. What's up, Rita? Well, Rita's gone is what's up. She had some requests, but obviously she wasn't hanging around. I don't blame her a bit. All right, so let's see what Don in Beloit has to say for himself. What's up, Don?
Hey, our friend Jim, I mean, this is sort of a dumb question. I apologize if we talked about this before on the show, but does Jim ever use, you know, like a big magnifying glass?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Glass? Yes, of course.
Yeah. The kind that...
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, to sit at a table, right. And you can kind of read. You know, that's another kind, too. Yeah. Just wondering.
Not the power he's going to need.
Right, right. Well, I'm a huge fan of The Creature of Jekyll Island. A friend gave it to me a long time ago.
Sure.
I read that, and I have it around my house somewhere. That's a really good book.
Yes, it is. Ed Griffin did a great job on that.
Yeah. I think everybody would appreciate it. Can I mention like a few others that maybe could lead up to that kind of period, you know, like some other books that, I mean, my dad was obsessed with history, as we've talked before. And,
well, what floats your boat? Let's hear them.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, with the Civil War, everybody wrote a book. You know, Grant was the biggest writer, the most popular, but the best book by far, in my opinion, by far, was a much different style of writing, very exciting, was the author of Modern Warfare, the guy who saw total warfare as the way to go to win the Civil War, economic war, the author of Total Warfare, the autobiography of William Tecumseh Sherman. It's a great book.
All right. Got it.
He was a banker. He was a banker in San Francisco and saw an early Yerba Buena, you know, even before they called it San Francisco.
So what else?
And then Empire Express, the building of the Transcontinental Railroad, like 1,000 times better than Stephen Ambrose's version of it. The UP selling crazy bond scandals, you know, versus the fiscally conservative, more internal Southern Pacific Railroad.
Yeah, that was David. That was David Bain, and that came out in
really 2000. One of the greatest history books ever written by the United States about the United States. Yeah.
What else?
This period of craziness was this woman Hetty Green becomes basically the first equivalent woman billionaire in the country.
Right.
It's called The Day They Shook the Plum Tree. Me and my friend Steve, we talked about that in laboratories with all kinds of people.
Right.
25 years ago. Yeah, that's a really
that was
great
Lewis.
Book.
Lewis wrote that.
How did she
Lewis?
Get her first money? She buys in England Civil War U.S. war bonds England when everybody thought the U.S. wasn't going to be around anymore.
Right, right. The Robber Barron's 2% nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah. 2% of Americans were dead from the Civil War, and a lot of people didn't think we're going to ever pay our bonds back. You know, so she scarfed them up and started her first fortune, which led to many other fortunes.
Yes, yes.
And then finally... one of the greatest books I've read is Paris 1919, where the world comes to Paris to kind of undo all these wrongs, and it gets all mucked up in funny different ways. But that's a really brilliant book.
6 months that changed the world.
So, yes. So Jekyll Island, 1913, but there was a lot of crazy unrest.
Absolutely. And believe me, this is just, you know, you're right about that period of time, but there is so much before it and so much out there, of course. But yeah, Paris 1919, that was Macmillan. So I'm aware.
She is such a great writer. Yeah, it was such a pleasure talking to you, Raleigh.
Always. All right. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
All right. You
Have a good one. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right. So, you know, let you draw your own conclusion, but there's a lot of things to read that are interesting. And the thing about The Creature from Jekyll Island is that it's an interesting read, so it's not just dull, boring stuff. You know, you get on the train with them, and you take the ride with them, and it's a lot of fun. Well, I shouldn't say that, as the country's falling apart economically, but it's a good read. We'll go with that. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
He don't really love you, girl, as much as I do. Oh, he's only gonna try his best to make a
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So Stacy said I could play any Delphonics record I want to play. Yeah, so how about He Don't Really Love You? 1966 on Moonshot, early in their career. So their recording career anyway. So that's for Stacy, who may or may not be awake at this point. 888-876-5593. All right, I'm going to try not to be long-winded and get to everybody. So Rita called back with a request. So Rita, what is it you want to hear?
Oh, I had called in requests before, and I didn't know if you would play them, and I would, because I can't always get here. Well, let's see, one of them was, John Denver, you said you didn't want to play.
No, I played everyone but John Denver, every request you had but John Denver.
Andrew's sister,
yes,
B.J. Thomas.
I played B.J. Thomas.
I remember that one.
Okay, and I played the Andrews sisters.
Okay, and then there was another one. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, well, let's see if I can go back and see. Well, anyway, what else would you like to hear that isn't John Denver?
Well, you know, I was amazed with Mark. Every time he comes on, and he's names all these people. My goodness, it blows my mind.
You mean when
he remembers all these?
You mean when he does charts? Well, sure. I think anybody can do that if you pick years when they were in junior high school. Because what did you do at night? You sat and listened to the night guy on the radio. So you know every one of those.
Well, I was having to work. I had to work my way through school and everything.
Well, yeah, but not in junior high. When you were 12. 12 and 13 are the years where you'll remember them all.
Well, I'm 84 years old,
so
it's so going
then,
back
all right,
far.
All right. Well, and
but
of course,
anyway,
top 40 radio wasn't big then. But I, by the way, I bet you could do it if we pulled a chart from 1949 or 1950. I bet you know your Joni James and your, all those records.
No, we didn't have records back then.
Well, everybody else did. Believe me.
We went to a place called the Hub. Uh-huh. Near the school,
okay.
And they had a jukebox there, and so we put our money in and listened to different things.
All right,
but,
exactly. On shellac, on 40.
But I heard something about 3,000 Miles.
3,000 Miles is one of my favorite records, but it was never a hit. It was Brian Hyland.
Oh, well, that's I'd kind of like to hear that. I can't remember. And then something called Way Up North.
Okay. All right. I have that here somewhere. It's on the request list. All right, those are the ones you want to hear?
And then something by the Carpenters, maybe?
There's one I'll play, yeah.
Okay.
And only
and
one.
And then when I was fishing around for WGN before around 9 o'clock tonight, there was a program that came on. I had to laugh. This man had been out fishing, and he didn't. He just had his shirt, T-shirt on, and he had a pair of short pants, you know, no pockets at all. So he had a, as he was finishing, he had his truck there, and he was putting away his pole and everything. And he had a little tray on a cart, and it had his, he had his wallet and his keys and a cell phone apparently there.
Uh-huh.
And this seagull came down, grabbed his wallet, took it up into the air, and landed somewhere and opened the wallet and took out the money.
What did he do with it?
Watched him do this.
What did he do with
well,
it?
Well, I guess he put it in his mouth. But then whatever happened to the wallet, the man has a reward out for, he wants his wallet back because it's got his license and his, all his IDs in there.
Well, apparently this was off Nantucket Island. So the nice thing is probably whoever finds it won't need any of the money. Maybe they'll actually be willing to return it.
Yeah, but that I know here in Harwood Heights, we have this big jewel for in Harlem and Foster, and it's a big, big parking lot with a lot of different shops in there. But in the fall, when it gets cold, I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden, a seagull will come down and sit on my hood, and just we eyeballed each other.
Uh-huh.
But I'm told that they're trying to keep their feet warm by coming onto the warm hood of the car.
Well, no one can figure out what the interest is in currency. I hope this guy gets his wallet back.
I do, too. I thought that was so interesting. Yeah. I don't know what channel. I mean, I'm on the radio here. I was just scanning through trying to find WGN.
Well, you know, it is, unfortunately, a seagull. So the good chance is that wallet is in the water. Well, hopefully not. We'll try to keep up with Massachusetts news and see whether people at the Shop and Shop Mid-Island find his wallet.
You know, I always like listening to your truckers, and I don't hear the truckers anymore.
Well, I think fewer and fewer people are driving. You know, trucking used to be such a wonderful profession, and originally it was so great. You know, you'd shut your door and you'd be on your own. Now you're tracked within an inch of your DNA every minute. You're timed. You've got these horrible hours of service rules that determine when you're tired, even if you're not, and you have to stop driving. I mean, there are so many things that most of the people I know who used to drive gave it up.
Oh.
But who knows? Maybe
it was interesting to listen where
were. Yeah. Yeah, I love riding. They take me along for a ride. I love riding. Yeah. Well, hopefully more will call us.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. We'll get your requests on, too, I promise. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so there. Let's see. We have Steve Bryant in Las Vegas. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you and John?
Well, better than the guy who lost his wallet to a seagull.
I was going to say, I just sold one of my guitars, and you wouldn't believe who bought it.
That'd be great.
It was a cash deal. It was great. Anyway, I heard your listener call in about the magnification powers.
Yes.
And you're exactly right. The digital phones go out to about 110, 120 millimeters at their max.
Right.
They actually could go more, but then you start to go into that weird hazy digital range where everything kind of blurs out.
Right.
But the equivalent optical would be about 110, 120. The human eye sees things at about a 55 millimeter perspective. So that's about 2 power. 110, 120 would be about 2 power. Two times what the human eye can ascertain.
Oh, that's not going to help him. That's not going to help him at all.
But I have something that can.
Okay.
QVC sells little handheld magnifiers that are illuminated. They're like $30, and they're 3 power, and that's okay. But Amazon, or as those of us who used to work for QVC call it, the 9,000-pound elephant in the room,
right.
Amazon has these 10-power stand magnifiers, illuminated stand magnifiers, and they're about $30, $40, right, in that range. So they're 10-power. and wow. that should pretty much do it.
Now, but you say
Amazon
you say,
has them you right
say,
on the page.
And are they portable enough that you can take them with them when you want to go out to dinner?
Okay, that's well. Then
yeah.
Garcon, please bring me an extension cord.
Right, right, yeah, exactly. So that's that. I think, it, but yeah, but here's one that it claims it's 30 times. See, but again, you don't know what Ooh. That means. But yeah, the JMH magnifying glass with light, 30 times handheld large, 18 LED, cold Ooh. And warm light with three modes for $9.99 with free date.
Oh heck, is that
with free delivery?
Is that Amazon?
Yeah, with free delivery.
Oh, great. That's great.
Yeah.
And that, hey, that'll help them a lot. I know QVC, before they went to hell in a handbasket, used to sell a lot of telescopes.
Oh, yes.
And I actually, I had more fun, because that was always a hobby of mine when I was a kid, more fun selling telescopes, and I found something. There was a, don't laugh, there was a popular photography magazine from 1934.
Okay.
Now, for some reason, this was in our house when I grew up, mm-hmm. and there was not a lot to read, so I read it cover to cover, and they came up with this idea called astrophotography, and they said, if you take your camera and you focus on the mirror of the eyepiece of the telescope, you could actually take pictures through your telescope without having a physical interface between the telescope and the camera.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, it's kind of neat. So when we had a telescope, I thought, let's try it with video. So we were selling a telescope. I took my camcorder and I focused on the with the moon in full view in the telescope. Once I got that lined up, focused on the mirror in the eyepiece, and bang, I got. In fact, I've got a on my YouTube page. I've got a video snippet of what I got, some really nice shots of the mountains and craters on the moon.
Oh, wow.
And we sold the living daylights out of telescopes with using that.
Yeah.
And we actually, you want to laugh? We had Dr. Derek Pitts. I don't know if that name rings a bell to you.
All right.
He's the head of the Science Institute at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia.
Which is no longer there, is it?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I think it's the honorable. And that was the thing, is he wasn't a PhD. He was an honorable D at Derek Pitts.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, yes. We were selling a telescope from the Franklin Institute, actually. And I told him, I've got some video of the moon. He said, well, do you have an interface? I said, no, I just focused on... He said, he'd had no idea that this happened. Mm. Anyway, bottom line, I got to go speak to a whole group of PhD physicists at the Franklin Institute.
Oh, that's great.
To tell them about this technique. Here I am, you know, Mr. On-air salesperson,
right.
Saying, well, here's what you do.
So, right, right. Oh, anyway, that's great. Well, yeah, there you were at the Phil's Planetarium.
Absolutely. Well, I wish your guy luck, and that Amazon 30 power one sounds like a winner.
Yeah, for $10, I'd try it. You betcha. That's a great idea. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Raleigh.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, I hope. All right.
Bye-bye.
So, always good to hear from Steve. 888-876-5593. Bob is going to keep me in line, so I'll do this and then get back to you right here on WGN Radio.
Was I wrong to think that you could live like I'm accustomed to? Your daddy's rich, you could have married a millionaire or dignitary, but you chose me. Are you happy? For sometimes is your mind 3,000 miles away, 3,000 miles away.
think of it too. For sometimes is your mind 3,000 miles away.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it had a lot of firepower behind it. Leon Russell arranged it. Snuff Garrett produced it. Artie Wayne wrote it. And Brian Hyland sang it. And it did absolutely nothing in 1966. It was one of the follow-ups to The Joker Went Wild on Phillips. But I liked it. So Rita mentioned 3,000 Miles, and I was pretty sure she'd never heard it. Because who has? But I like it. 888-876-5593. Going to get some more advice for Jim. I hope he's still listening. So Brian in Jefferson City, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, what's up?
Oh, not much. The fellow that called that's losing his vision, if he's having issues or with the iPhone figuring it out, there are services. Is he from Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In his local town or through the state agency for the blind, they would know resources of...
Yeah.
People that will show him how to use either the magnification or the voiceover on it, and they can give him some training on how to either visually do an email or audibly do one where it can read it to him or he can read it.
Right, you know, it's good advice. I've given him a bunch of those, so hopefully he'll reach out to them for that. Though I also think what Steve just said, a 30 times magnifier might not be a bad thing for $10.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully, yeah, that could help. It would just, I don't know what the degree of his vision loss is.
Almost complete.
Oh, yeah, so I don't know. It's hard to say until he really tries a magnifier how beneficial it would be. So.
Yeah, that's what I say. For $10, it's worth it, and you can always send it back.
Yeah. Well, if he's, I forget the gentleman's name.
Jim. Jim in Richmond, Jim. Wisconsin.
If he is still listening, you know, Jim, you're not alone. I've had sight problems my entire life and have been totally blind the last 6 years.
Yeah.
So there's thousands of us out across the country who are blind or low vision who have either are going through or have been through what you're going through. So you're not alone when it comes to suffering vision loss. So.
Are there any, you know, I know there's a lot of resources and we've talked about all that, but are there any social support groups, you know, where he could communicate with other people?
There can be. If he's in Wisconsin, the Two Blind Organization, the Wisconsin Council of the Blind, and I'm sure there's the National Federation of the Blind of Wisconsin, would be two. And I don't know what town he's in.
Richmond.
But most... I'm sorry?
Richmond. It's a small town.
Okay. Well, let me do some checking later today. And if not, I mean, we could certainly put him in touch just for the social outlet.
That's what I'm hoping for, where he has somebody he can talk to. Because, you know, he's so utterly alone. And even if he had people he could call, or, you know, it doesn't have to be like this big organization or big... You know, Bruja, it's just got to be friends, people who he's
Well, sure.
Yeah, so I'd love to see that happen.
Let me do some checking, and I will try to call you Thursday night. So.
Sounds great. I'll look forward to it.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
So, sure, just you know, telephone call, somebody to reach out to say, hey, you know, here's what I'm feeling, and someone who's been there, done that, and can commiserate. Karen in Chicago, we've been waiting patiently for a request. What is it you want to hear?
Hi, no, I have a song for you. You remember At the Hop?
Unfortunately.
Well, I wrote At the Dock.
At the Dock, okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to read it to you. I can't sing.
Okay.
They can prod you, they can poke you, and they're really going to soak you at the dock. Well, it isn't very funny when they get to talking money at the dock. It blows your mind because they rob you blind at the dock. And then you have the refrain, let's go to the dock. Let's go to the dock. Oh, baby, let's go to the dock. Let's go to the dock. Come on, let's go to the dock. And the second verse is, they got a great sensation. It's a brand new medication at the dock. It should get you feeling better. Get you better quicker, but you swear you're getting sicker at the dock. but you take those pills and you pay those bills at the doc. And then, of course, let's go to the doc.
I think it's inspired, absolutely inspired. If you get me the lyrics, I'll pass them along to Johnny D.
Okay, I'm going to say what I wrote. Getting up, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know what? It's Jim's iPhone. It's an Apple.
By the way, the show ended. You and I are talking, but the show has ended. So apologies to Eduardo and to Nick. Call me earlier tomorrow, please, much earlier. All right, now, Karen, you're going to be it, and so go for it. What were you saying?
I wondered if Jim's iPhone is an Apple.
Yes, of course it is.
Apple has an accessibility line that they will help anybody with a disability. And even if it comes to the point where they need to share your screen with you, they can do that.
That's a good idea. By the way, every iPhone is an Apple. There's no iPhone that's not an Apple.
Oh. Okay.
By definition, they are apples. That's a good idea.
Line all the time.
That's a real good idea about the accessibility. I'm sure he's not listening now because we're not on the air. We're on the stream,
totally,
but that's about it.
I'm totally blind, too. Yeah. I know where you're going through.
Well, and thank you for that. Yeah, so I hope, I don't think he listens on the stream. I think he listens on the air. So with that in mind, hopefully I'll remember to tell him tomorrow night or you'll remind me. And I appreciate the call. And I love At the Doc. I think it's classic.
Great. Right, thanks. I will email it to you.
All right, good deal. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Keep up the good work, Holly. I love your show.
Great to have you. All right. Well, I'm sure everybody but Bob does. Poor Bob. But he keeps me in line. He cuts me off just when he should. And I'm indebted to him keeping me on the air. I'm indebted to John for screening your calls because I couldn't do it without him. But most of all, I'm truly indebted to you because this show is absolutely hard to do when nobody's calling. So when you do, it makes it a pleasure. So do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.